Welcome to Environment and Natural Resource Finance. I'm glad to see you all, even though it's 8 o'clock in the morning. I think this is going to be a hard time for all of us to get used to, but we will. And we will be starting on time. And I have told Al, and we'll talk about this, that if I am not here, if I get stuck in a snowstorm in South Minneapolis, he's going to be starting the meeting on time. Are we not on there? Okay. Let me just tell you what we're going to do today and coming up. Today we're going to start with introductions. I'm going to go through the procedures for this committee, which are going to be a little bit different than some of the other committees, so let's just chat about them. And then today we're going to have our fiscal analyst, Jim Reinholtz, talk to us about the overall budget. For later on, I'm going to tell you what we are going to do between now and the time that the governor presents his budget to us, because we don't have a working document at this point, and we expect that on the 23rd of January. So we have a schedule that we have planned between now and then. So we'll start with introductions, and I'm Jean Wagenius. And we are on TV, so make sure that's why we're... You probably know who I am, but I am Jean Wagenius. I live in South Minneapolis. I represent an area between Diamond Lake on one side and around Lake Nokomis on the other side, because if I tell people anything else, they have no idea what Minneapolis is like. This is the first time I've chaired a finance committee. I'm new at this, and we will definitely have mistakes because of that. I have chaired a policy committee before, so at least I have some familiarity with what's going on. So we're going to start with introductions, starting with Al, and we'll go around, introduce members. Then I would like folks who actually make us work introduce themselves too, and because we're so glad to have you here. So we'll start with Al, and we'll go around this way.
Good morning. Al Doty from District 12B, which is the Little Falls area. The rest of the towns are probably too small for lots of you to have heard of. It's western Morrison County, lots of dairy farms in the south, lots of lakes in the north, and Camp Ripley and the Mississippi River in between. It'd be nice to work with all of you.
Hi, I'm Representative Bev Scalzi, and I represent Little Canada, Vadnais Heights, Southern Shoreview, Eastern Roseville, and all of Gem Lake. And in my district, we have 15 water bodies, which is not too different from where I grew up. I grew up by Lake of the Woods in Baudette, Minnesota. And so I have strong ties, and I'm up there regularly. So I have strong ties to the water bodies in the forests of Minnesota. Glad to work with all of you.
My name is Bob Gunther. I represent District 24A, Fairmont. And if we're going to talk about water bodies, we have 152 10-acre or more prairie lakes in Martin County. And you don't think of that way down south by Iowa. But we also have the fifth largest lake, which is a border lake in Iowa. And the Iowans really want to dredge that lake, and they want Minnesota to help them. I don't think we need any more deep lakes in Minnesota, but that's what they want.
Good morning, Madam Chair. I'm Doug Magnus. I represent four counties in the southwest corner of the state. Murray County, Pipestone County, almost all the Nobles, and I represent a unique county, especially when we're talking about the environment here in Rock County. It's the only county in the state that doesn't have a lake. And Pipestone County has one. It's a little man-made lake. So we don't have a lot of water. We're not as wet as those guys over there in Gunther's district are.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. I look forward to serving with you. I'm Danny McNamara. I spent 30 years as a landscape contractor, so I made my living in the environment. I live down in Hastings. I represent Southern Washington County and Northern Dakota County, and I'm excited to be here and look forward to it. Thank you.
Dennis Cosman, State Representative, Rosemount, Eastern Apple Valley, and been involved in the environment all 22 years in the legislature. So glad to be here.
Represent Tom Hackbarth. Excuse me, got a little frog in the throat this morning. State Representative, I represent Northern Anoka County and part of Sherburne County, City of Elk River. I'm just going into my sixth term.
Karen? Oh, Karen Clark. I represent the inner city neighborhood in South Minneapolis. I grew up in Representative Magnus' district, and actually, although there's no lake, there is a place for swimming in Rock County.
It's a swimming pool.
I'm from Montana Mountain State Park.
No, I know. I represent Karen Clark's dad. I know that. I represent Clark's dad.
I'm really happy to be on this committee.
Representative Kent Eakin, District 2A up in northwest Minnesota. I represent all of Norman County, all of Menomon County, most of Becker County, and the southern parts of Polk and Clearwater counties.
Representative Aaron Peterson, entering my third term from Lac Qua County, Appleton. But it's parts of five counties, Big Stone, Swift, Lac Qua, Yellow Medicine, and Lincoln. Plenty of prairies, lots of lakes, lots of soybeans, lots of corn, and such. We get to lots of issues, obviously, and happy to be on the committee.
Madam Chair and members, I'm Tom Anzelf. I'm following a legend, Herb Anderson. I have lots of water and a lot of trees. I live in the Chippewa National Forest. I represent Lake of the Woods, Cooch, and the more rural area of Itasca, and really looking forward to working with you all.
Good morning. My name is Paul Gardner. I represent 53A, which I live in Shoreview, and I have all of Lexington and Circle Pines and parts of Lionel Lakes, a little part of Blaine, Shoreview, and North Oaks, home of the Chain of Lakes Preserve in Anoka County. I look forward to working with you. I just stepped down from 9.5 years as the director for the Recycling Association of Minnesota, so I have some background in solid waste.
Good morning. My name is Representative Kate Knuth. I represent New Brighton and Arden Hills, a little bit of Shoreview. I think we have all of Shoreview represented here with three of us, and a little bit of Fridley, and really excited about being on this committee. My background's in biology and conservation. In my studies and previous work.
Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen. I represent Northern Dakota County, part of South St. Paul, West St. Paul, Mendota Heights, Mendota, Lilydale, and a little bit of Egan, and the Minnesota and Mississippi wrap around my district. I'm very glad to be on the committee.
I'm Representative Frank Moe, District 4A, which is Bemidji, almost over to Grand Rapids, the heart of the best fishing country in probably the United States, Leash, Winnie. With all due respect, David. Also, forest products industry is very big in the district. Largest number of forest product industry jobs is immediately in the Bemidji area, so that's a big concern for me as well. And I learned to fish in Bob Gunther's district, fished with his parents as a kid. And I have aspirations of playing country rock music with Representative Magnus.
Hi, David Dill, State Representative from 6A, which is where the fish really are. Lake Cook and St. Louis, you folks down here know it as mainly the North Shore and the Boundary Waters area. And my third term and third term being on this committee. Well, welcome. Thank you.
Hi, Kathy Singlestead from Andover, Coon Rapids in the Anoka County area, known for its wetlands.
And we're just going to tell folks a little bit about yourself, because these are the folks that really make this work.
I'm Jim Reinholtz, the fiscal analyst assigned to this committee. I have been working the environment area in the House as fiscal analyst since the early 90s. Except for a period in that I was gone for a few years in the late 90s for a while. And the fiscal analysis department is made up, it's a nonpartisan office made up of, I think right now there's 13 of us.
Good morning, I'm John Hillen. I'm a legislative analyst with the House Research Department, and I'll help write the omnibus bill that this committee puts out and other appropriation-related legislation that this committee deals with. Thanks.
I'm Melissa Heising, and I'm the committee legislative assistant.
Bobby LaFosso with House Research. I'm responsible for issues regarding air pollution, solid waste, hazardous waste, and nuclear waste. This will be my fourth session with the committee.
Mark Nicely, Republican Research. This will be my fifth session with the House.
My name is Shore, CFL Research, my first session. But I did it in Montana with the Metro Research Committee there.
Hi, my name is Jenna Duenhager. I'm the committee administrator.
And we have some pages with us. Did you want to introduce yourself and tell you a little bit about yourself?
I'm Joshua Fox. My first term was a page. I'm a recent graduate of State College.
I'm Ron Rodowell. I've been doing this for about 8 years. I consider it a privilege to come back. I'm retired after a lot of years at General Motors. On my off season, I just get to enjoy several parts of my life, my family, my wife, green grass, a lot of sunshine. Thank you.
I think we have everybody so far. Okay, we've done that. Okay, I'm going to tell you just a little bit about procedures in this committee. Every committee has a little bit, it's a little bit different because it has a little bit different flavor. I mentioned before, Al will take over if I am for some reason snowed in South Minneapolis, and he will take over and get the committee started in time. Just like any other committee, we won't hear a bill without a bill request. But we're going to do something a little bit different from other committees. I want us to be very careful about bills not leaving this committee unless they're in excellent shape. We won't be passing on a bill to get it in shape before it gets to the next committee. And the reason for that is that in some committees, the work that is done will never, the language will never be litigated. It just doesn't happen that way. Of an education finance bill, there's almost no chance of litigation. But in the area that we have jurisdiction over, litigation is rampant. And so we're going to be very careful with the words we use. So if a bill comes up and it's not quite ready, for some reason, we will lay it over. That is not as a putting it off to never be done. That is a lay it over to make sure the words are right before it leaves this committee. So it is not a bad thing. It is a good thing. That brings up the tension of the 24-hour rule and whether or not to have it. And we will not have it for most things, because I want you all to be able to write legislation and get it in the shape that it should be to leave this committee. So we can't anticipate in advance every word that is going to be perfect. So no 24-hour rule for things that people want to bring that we can easily read and digest sitting here as a committee. But if something is not easy to read and digest without sitting here for 20 minutes and reading it, then bring it to the committee 24 hours in advance so it can be distributed, so people can read it and digest it before we get to committee. Otherwise, it will be ruled out of order. Okay. One of the things that happened when we went just after the committee chairs were named, our partner committee in the Senate is headed by Senator Ellen Anderson. And Ellen Anderson and I sat down with the heads of the three departments over which we have jurisdiction, and we said that when the budget comes to us, we would like it to be done in terms of outcomes that are easy for Minnesotans to understand. And we did that because I firmly believe that Minnesotans can see what outcomes they are getting from the departments. They will want more. They will want more lakes cleaned up, for example. So we're going to do everything in terms of outcomes. That also gives you the opportunity to look at priorities and think about what are your top priorities and what are our top priorities as a group. We will have subcommittees in this committee because there are some things that are going to take a lot of time to slog through. We'll probably be announcing some next week. If you are interested in working on a subcommittee, please let me know or you can talk to Al. A couple of other things. Before we get the budget, we are going to have some hearings that will give us a more broad background so we can understand a bit about what's coming before us. So our next hearing will be on wetlands. We'll have a professor from the University of Minnesota coming, someone I have not met but who comes highly recommended, talking to us about wetlands. We will have the next hearing after that will be on the federal farm bill. And let me tell you, that sounds a little different, but the reason we're going to do it, it has so much impact, the federal farm bill and the one coming up, the one that will be written, will have so much impact on conservation in Minnesota that when Representative Peterson suggested we have a hearing on that, it just made total sense. So we're going to have some folks come and talk to us about their perspectives on the federal farm bill. And if you know of people who want to testify on that, we would welcome their testimony. But I would like them to talk to our committee administrator ahead of time. Following that, we will have a hearing on groundwater. The Tuesday after, I believe, but that we're getting into the third week, so I don't know for sure of the date of that. But we will be doing a hearing on groundwater. We have not had much opportunity to talk about that. And some more other just very quick and practical things. I want to know if you want coffee ahead of time. Some people do, some people don't. So talk to me ahead of time if there are 3 people who want coffee or 20. I need to know that. Obviously. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. We're going to have more than I will. Just let me know. Well, maybe that's easy. Would folks tell me how many people would like us to do coffee? So we'll have enough to do it. Okay. You all know about prior approval for travel. I probably don't have to tell you much about that. That's going to be said in every committee. We do recess for fire drills. We do it automatically. Just get up and leave. You don't have to have the chair say, let's recess. The bell is the recess. I say that because sometimes people don't know that they should, whether they should get up and leave or not. But that is not for the committee to call. The bell is the automatic recess. Okay, and obviously if cell phones ring, and I think mine is on ring right now, and I'll change it, please take them outside, and that goes to the folks in the audience too. With that, I'm going to turn. Do you all have questions about those procedures? I don't see any. So with that, I'm going to turn this over to our fiscal analyst.
Madam Chair, thank you. Members of the committee, I was asked to put together some overview information on the committee's area that the committee is responsible for and the budgets there. And you have a blue folder that I put together some items in. If you would want to pull that out, and I'll go through the pieces that have been put into there. Before I start on the budget, on the left side, I would be remiss if I didn't do a little advertisement for the fiscal analysis department. My direct supervisor usually likes us to at least to introduce to new members the existence of the department within the house. There's a little brochure there. I'm sorry it's a year old, so it's some of the actual information on the committees and the structures a little bit off from the way the house is organized this year, but it gives you an overview of what fiscal analysts do, and we are happy to work with any members, when they're developing their bills, to try to help you cost out what it would be, obviously, and then the main thing that we do is work with the finance committees in putting together the appropriations bills. And if you have any questions, you can talk to me or Bill Marks, the director of the office, or any of the analysts. We're all assigned to particular areas, and you can find which area by going onto the web. There's also just a short one page on some of the documents that and publications that we have in the department. And then the last item is called the Glossary of Fiscal Terms and Acronyms. And what I've included here are just the general terms, and then those terms that are specific to the environmental area. If you're not familiar, and I'm sorry, some members have been around this committee for quite a few years, and you've probably heard me say these same things before, and I'm sorry for that, but there are also some members that are brand new, so there's a wide variety of experience. I would recommend that you put this in your save folder that you have on your table, that when departments come forth, and I'm sorry, when I speak, I often speak in acronyms that you may wonder, what is he talking about? And some of those are listed here, and you may be able to refer back to that. Government in general talks in a lot of acronyms, and we really do it up here too. And if you ever are not clear on it, please interrupt or ask me what they are. All right, with that, that's my intro on the fiscal analysis side. And then the chair asked that I put together some basic information for some of the numbers that this committee, after all, is the Appropriations Committee, and will spend most of its time making decisions on what level of funding will be recommended anyway, and then work with the Senate and the governor on the final dollars for the environmental area of state government. So I refer then, I'll go right down on the right side, I'll go through the handouts. The first one, and I just put this one in here just to give you some general idea of how, where the money comes from. And this one is, you probably have seen this one maybe, it's where the general fund dollars come from. These numbers are based on the November forecast that just came out. As you can see, we're looking for the next biennium of 638 billion dollars coming from for the general fund. And this shows that you obviously can see on the chart, where does most of it come from? The individual income tax and the sales tax are by far the largest two sources of funding for the general fund. This is only showing general fund, and just for background information, general fund is approximately 50% of the money that the state spends in a biennium. If you move on to the second chart, it shows expenditures by all funds. And I included this one, obviously, it's just a trend line. This is not, it's not adjusted for inflation. It's just actual dollars. And so it's nice for people to get a sort of a view of what's happening with these expenditures in the state. And you can see they're a little uneven in recent years, but the trend line has obviously been moving upward. 06 and 07 on this item are shown basically the same. That'll probably change when final numbers come in. We're in the fiscal year 07 right now, and so these are still projected numbers on that. The next chart, what this one is showing is how that approximately $33 billion of general fund money is divided up within the areas of funding in the state. And I'm looking for, the environment is over in the lower left corner. Environment natural resources is 0.9% of the general fund, so a very small portion of the general fund dollars being spent on environment and natural resources activities. As you probably know, and you can see, education, K-12 education is by far the largest individual item at almost 40%. If you include in the early childhood and I'm looking quickly where the higher education number is on this, I think this one is divided by committees, so higher education and workforce development. The new structure for the House then would be Those three items would be over half of the general fund budget. The other large one, obviously, health and human services. Just so you get sort of a picture of where the environment funding fits in the general budget, it's a very small portion of it. Now, the last page in this first set of handouts here is showing what is called the base expenditure for the budget coming up for the 08 and 09 fiscal years. That is the biennium that the committee will be making decisions on in this session. These numbers are based on the forecast from November, and it's in the environment, natural resources. This is just showing what that chart showed, and the total general fund in the base is $284 million. It's just under 1% of the general fund budget. That's just to give you sort of some context of where this committee fits in, and as far as the dollars that are spent out of the general fund. If you move on to the next set of handouts, the first chart would be a fund balance statement. Once again, this one is based on the November 2006 forecast. That forecast is put together by the Department of Finance. The next forecast will be in February. The February forecast will be the one that is used by the legislature to set the actual budgets that will come out in this session. You probably heard, I don't know if you heard yesterday, the numbers for December came out, and we're up $50 million from the forecast that came out just a little over a month ago. So the numbers, the numbers can vary sometimes rather greatly from the forecast, even between November and February. So at this point in time, we're really not sure what the total dollars available will be. But the final decisions aren't made until that number's out. This particular chart, I put it together to give you some context over some period of time. And what it's comparing is the top half of the chart are the general fund expenditures. The bottom half of the chart are all funds. The columns are arranged covering beginning with fiscal years 02 and 03, and then moving down until the fiscal years 08 and 09, which we will be dealing with in the committee this session. And I have it listed by agencies that are come under the responsibility of this committee. And some members may not be aware of that, members that have been around this committee for years. There's been some changes this year, and really the committee is responsible now for the Pollution Control Agency, the Natural Resources Department, the Water and Soil Resources Board, the appropriation that goes to the Met Council for Parks, and the Minnesota Conservation Corps, and also the recommendations that come out of the LCCMR that come under this committee. Those are the state agencies and other funded organizations that this committee will deal with. In previous, the most recent years, the Science Museum, the Minnesota Zoo were also in this committee. Those are no longer in this committee. They're now in the Heritage. Minnesota Heritage, I believe, is the committee's name. Those have been moved to. So there's a little bit less in this committee than there was in the past, and also the ag agencies have moved into their own committee. In recent times, they were combined in this committee too. The number I really want to point out to you here is if you follow on the top half, the general fund, the total, if you look at the fiscal year 2002-2003 column, in the general fund, the total was $344 million in those 2 years. If you then move across to the forecast number for 08 and 09, you'll see it's $284 million. So this committee is actually in the base, and that would be a base number, and may or may not be what comes out of the committee in the end, depending on the priorities that are set by the House. But that is a $60 million approximately reduction in general fund spending over that period of time. 17% reduction is the change that happened. What was going on there, those many of you were here, obviously the general fund was having deficit forecasts during a period of that time, and spending was reduced in this area from the general fund. But what happens if you look down at the all funds number? Now this will include the general fund plus those dollars that are raised from license fees or permit fees in DNR and PCA. And when you follow that one across, you see in 0203 the spending was $957 million. This committee is right around $1 billion of the biennium now. And then if you move over to the 08 and 09, the years the committee will be making decisions on, you'll see that the base number is 968. So even though the general fund dollars were down in total by about $60 million, when you include all the other funds, it was up slightly by $11 million over that period of time, a 1.2% increase. And just background information that maybe is hopefully useful to you when you're thinking about what has happened in this area over the previous, three or four bienniums, and some of the changes that are contemplated for this year. If you move on, this is an overview of the whole budget for this division.
Excuse me. I do want us to take questions. First of all, it breaks up what's going on at 8:30 in the morning. But I think it's also a good idea to have questions as they come up, and Representative Tingleton has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Reinholtz, on that first page there under the general fund, can you tell me the difference between that second and third line, Natural Resources Department, and then the open appropriations with that? What the difference is of those two lines?
Madam Chair, Representative Tingleton, in appropriating money, there's categories of dollars. A direct appropriation is what most people are commonly think of, and those are where most of the decisions are made. That's where there are dollars need to be appropriated every 2 years, or there is no money for that activity. And then there are categories of appropriations that are called open or statutory appropriations. What that means is there's legislation in law, there's been legislation passed that continues an appropriation without any further activity by the legislature. The Department of Natural Resources has several of those. The largest ones are open general fund appropriations are payment in lieu of tax payments to local units of government. The state of Minnesota, through the Department of Natural Resources, owns a lot of land around the state. And the legislature long ago decided to make payments in lieu of property taxes. That's where the name comes from. So those local units of government to try to offset some of the costs that they had and the loss of property tax dollars. Those are open appropriations. The statute says that the state will make this payment at this rate to the counties. So that's what's happening. That's what is there. There's sort of two different divisions and types of appropriations. They're also the largest. That is the largest one, I believe. There are also some payments that are being made to Indian reservations that were settlements from treaties that come underneath there that I believe are the open appropriations. And then there are also some smaller ones. That is increased rather drastically. As you look at it, you see that's the area with the largest increase, and that's primarily the PILT payments. The PILT payments have they're based on the land price, the land value, and so as the value of the land out across Minnesota has gone up, those payments have been going up. And there have been some changes made to that in recent years to try to contain some of that increase. Obviously, local units of government appreciate that going up. The state sometimes not necessarily.
Yes. Representative Bill.
Thank you, Chair Wagenius. Is Mr. Reinholz's fire suppression, as I recall, that's an open open appropriation as well, DNR fire suppression?
Madam Chair, Representative Dill, yes. There's a portion of the fire appropriation, suppression appropriation of the DNR. A portion of it isn't open. There's also a portion of it is direct appropriated. So
you're follow correct. Up on that, Madam Chair.
Representative
Dill. Back in the years, Mr. Reinholz, when the state purchased the Bombardier bombers, the fire bombers, how did that get paid for, and does that any of the debt service reflect in that appropriation as we go forward? I wasn't here then, and I remember the purchase, and I remember some details, but I don't remember how that got paid for.
Madam Chair, Representative Dill, I'm going on my memory here, which is dangerous to do on numbers when I'm sitting here. I try not to, but those... They were purchased and they were paid for with the appropriations to the Department of Natural Resources. In the fire area, a lot of it is reimbursed by the federal government. It's a complex situation where the state may incur costs, and then we are also then if it was something that is on federal land, they're then reimbursed by the federal government. We can ask the DNR when they come forth. I believe those planes are now paid for. There was a period of time, you know, they were bonded, and then they were going to be paid for over a period of years. And I can look it up or talk to the DNR.
I think.
And I believe they are paid for at this point now.
Okay. Well, but there's nothing. You don't think there's anything in here that shows for the debt service on those, then?
Madam Chair, Representative, they would be in the past years. I don't think that the current one does, but I'll double check with the DNR on that. I looked at that was a few years ago because there were some questions about the level of the expenditures, and that was a significant portion of it. It was going to end, and I hope I'm right on this, and I'll double check. I believe it has ended.
Thank you. Any more questions before Mr. Reinholz goes on? Yes. Representative Osmond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just, as the we took real hits in the general fund, it according to this chart, and my assumption is also that we made it that up in all funds through fees and other areas. I think if that's accurate, Mr. Reinholz, I think that's important for the committee to know, so that we recognize that now that we're hopefully in better fiscal shape, that we really put pressure on trying to get back some of our general fund money and not be looking at additional fees. We really had to heavily rely upon additional fees in the past just to try and make ends meet. And, am I accurate in what this is stating, Ms. Reinholz?
Madam Chair, Representative Osmond, you are, and that's why I laid this out this way with the general fund. To show the reduction and the all funds, to show that even though there was a reduction in the general fund area, that reduction was made up in the non-funds area. You're correct. Through raising additional revenue was one of the ways to make that up in the natural resources fund, which are the license fees, also in the pollution control area. And the pollution control, the agency, the fees were increased, and there also were some really shifts of revenue out of the general fund into other funds, primarily in what was the old Office of Environmental Assistance. There used to be the solid waste tax dollars used to go into the general fund and then were appropriated out of the general fund to the Pollution Control Agency. The committee either 2 or 4 years ago made a decision to move those revenues into the environmental fund and make the appropriation out of the environmental fund. So that was also part of the reason for the reduction in appropriations in general fund dollars and the increase in non-general fund dollars. But you're correct. Fees have been increased over the last two bienniums.
Representative Boston.
Madam Chair and members, that also... As you look at the chart, if you'll notice that under all funds that the Water and Soil Resources Board has really taken a significant hit over the years. I think there's going to be a legislative auditor's report coming out on the board here in the next few days or weeks, and I understand that it may not be very glowing in some of its report, but keep in mind they were also one of the organizations that took some of the most significant real hits. There wasn't any fees to replace their stuff, and so they actually took some real cash hits.
Thank you for reminding me of that, Representative Osmond. We will hear that legislative auditor's report when it comes out, so that we will schedule that in. We don't know the exact date right now, but we will schedule that in. Mr. Reinholz.
Madam Chair, members, and move on to the second page of this handout. What I've put together here is really some information on the three largest agencies, starting with Bowser and then moving into the DNR and PCA. And it's really just some really broad overview to give you a feel for the differences between these three agencies. There's really some significant differences in how they are funded. And the first pie chart here, what you're seeing is, this is for the Board of Water and Soil Resources, and it's showing where they spend their money. And what you see here is that light blue area is local assistance. Local assistance is really where agencies have pass-through money. The Board of Water and Soil Resources gets a significant appropriation, but if you look at it, the largest part of their appropriation is passing through their agency and moving out, primarily to the local water agencies and the Soil and Water Resources Board, the conservation, the county agencies, really. So the vast majority of their money moves through, and that is for this division, that's kind of unique to this agency. If you move on to the second pie chart.
Excuse me, Mr. Reinholz. Total compensation.
Madam Chair, total compensation is really the salary costs along with the health insurance costs, all the related fringe benefit costs of employees.
Thank you.
The second page on Bowser, it's the budgeted expenditures by fund class. And what I wanted to show you and really point out here, once again, it's that light blue, is general fund. This agency has four different areas that it receives funding from, primarily the environment, natural resources. That's the trust fund dollars that come through the LCCMR, that Bowser gets typically a small amount of that. They have some federal dollars that come into Bowser, but the general fund dollars are the vast majority of the funding in this area. They really, if you think about it, Bowser doesn't have the type of programs or activities that would raise revenue to a large extent. They aren't giving up a lot of permits or licenses, which is where we primarily raise revenue. The next item, once this is still on Bowser, this one is showing revenue by fund class. It's a small amount of money, but it shows where they do bring in revenue, and the largest piece of it is some special revenue dollars that they bring in on some of the licensing and some permitting that they do. Not a whole lot of money, as you can see, $2.4 million. The next page, what I've included here is called the Agency Profile on the Water and Soil Resources Board. This will be coming before the committee as part of the governor's budget. All I've included are the agency-level pages. I really wasn't going to go through them much. It's just part of the handout. If you want to read the sort of high-level review of what the agency believes that their purpose, this is where they've stated their purpose, their functions, their operations, and a little bit about their budget. These are all available online if you're interested in looking at them. They're on the Department of Finance's webpage. This is part of the operating budget. that the agencies have put together and the governor will be using to come before the legislature is the third week of January. If you move then through a couple pages of the narrative, and it's called the Water and Soil Resources Board Agency Overview. It's a numbers page, a chart we're on right now. This is what you'll be working with when the budgets come before the committee and decisions are made. So I just wanted to give you a little background on how it's organized and then also a little bit of information on this agency. The first section of it is direct appropriations by fund. What this is establishing is that they called about the base. What this is using, if you see the fiscal year 2007 appropriation, was $900,000. Usually there's three zeros dropped on most of this information. So when you see 900, that's 900,000. You follow that across and it says forecast base for 08 and 09. You see that same number there, 900, 900. And what's happening here is the legislature has established in law that the general theory is what they were appropriated in 2007, this second year of the current biennium, becomes the base for the upcoming 2 years, the next biennium, in fact. Then there are certain things in law where there are changes made. The last appropriations bill may have said this is a one-time only appropriation. So then there are reductions out of that forecast base. And so it's kind of established. What the base is establishing is a starting point for the funding level for the upcoming year, pretty much at same level as was established by the legislature 2 years ago. And what you're usually doing is looking at making changes to what changes will be made to that base appropriation. In the next section, what it shows is the different breakouts by fund of where this agency's money comes from. As I did on the pie chart, I said most of this agency is general fund, and you'll see that there, that their base appropriation is $15,431,000 in 09 and $15,531,000 in 08. There's also some other information on here that is at an agency level, tells you their total compensation, other operating expenses, capital outlays, and local assistance. And once again, as you see, I pointed out, it just shows the numbers here rather than just the pie chart. The vast majority of their money goes to local assistance in this agency. This is a real broad overview of Bowser.
Yes, excuse me. Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Reinholz. With about three-quarters of the appropriation going to Bowser being distributed out to local units, what happens to that money if the local unit doesn't spend that money? For example, if it's a cost-share grant and it's encumbered but then it's not used or the local unit can't, is that money, is the authority with the local unit to hold that money, or does that money come back to Bowser and carried over?
Madam Chair, I'm not, in general, grant money goes out with usually some time period beyond the state fiscal year, but usually with a point where if it isn't spent, it does come back. I don't know specifically on Bowser if they are, how long that period is or what theirs is set up, but I can find that out or we can get it from the agency. But it does happen where sometimes the money does go out and then does come back and cancels, but it's relatively rare, especially in established programs. So, but I'll find out specifically on that. And if it does exist there, it's been established by legislation that has passed. And that is very common because of the delays that happen in doing things like cost share. You know, they have to do planning and then get the contracts and that. So there oftentimes, if the dollars have been encumbered, they are not canceled at the end of the biennium when they're out in a local agency. It's really is typical on grants.
Before we go on, perhaps Mr. Helen could give us the legislative language that governs the question you asked about. Would that be helpful? And not now, but
at a later point. Would that be helpful? All right. Thank you. Mr. Reinholz.
If we'd move out of Bowser, then what I had next here was the Natural Resources Department. This first pie chart, what this is showing is expenditures by program within the Department of Natural Resources. You've probably heard of these various departments being broken into programs. And the DNR is by far the largest agency that comes before this committee, and you can see over on the side, ecological services, enforcement, fish and wildlife management, forest management, lands and minerals, then there's support office, parks and recreation, trails and waterways, and water management resources are the way that they have decided, and the legislature has approval authority over of dividing the agency spending out. You can see some, obviously you think of the various parts there, and you probably recognize by their names what they are, but then they will be coming forth before this committee and giving you more detail on what their expenditures are and what they do in each one of these areas. The next chart is showing budgeted expenditures by category, and what this is showing is that the green color total compensation, and that's what is as compared to Bowser, where, and there's one of those acronyms, Bowser is Board of Water and Soil Resources, the agency we're just on. The DNR spends their largest area is total compensation. And if you think of the DNR is primarily involved in delivering services themselves, so they would have high expenditures in the area of compensation. The next one is their other operating expenditures. The DNR is rather high as compared to most agencies in this other operating expenses, but it's because of if you think of it, it's the type of activities they do. State parks, a lot of buildings, a lot of land to take care of, as opposed to most state agencies are office buildings and a lot of employees. DNR has a lot of employees, but they also have a lot of other operating expenses. So there are opportunities for this committee to, and they will be looking into what those are, making decisions sometimes on whether or not the DNR should own buildings, sell land. The legislature in the last several bienniums has instructed the DNR to sell excess land to try to reduce some of those expenditures where they thought that savings were possible. The next item to move on, and the next page shows expenditures by fund class. Fund class is the way that the books of the state of Minnesota are divided up, the general fund being the largest fund in the state bookkeeping. The DNR is a very complex agency in funding, probably one of the most complex agencies in the state of Minnesota. You can see they have funding coming from all over the place. Those long lists of fund classes there show you where the dollars that the DNR spends come from. The largest ones, that light blue is the general fund. About a quarter of their money, I believe, comes from the general fund. The next game and fish fund is sort of that salmon color. I wonder if they did that on purpose. We don't really have salmon. Do we have many salmon in Minnesota?
I hope our fish don't look that
well. Madam Chair, members of the committee. The game and just one thing on the game and fish fund.
This is not good.
The game and fish fund is really all revenue raised primarily through the hunting and fishing licenses. A significant portion of the funding and a significant portion of the expenditures in the department. The other large ones, the yellow is the Natural Resources Fund. That is primarily the licenses for things like snowmobiles, cross-country ski passes, ATVs. The gas tax that goes into the DNR for those activities. And it's really, what it is those activities that are often funded in whole or close to whole by charging fees to the users. And then there's a lot of miscellaneous sources of funds that the DNR gets, some of which are permits, some of which are licenses, and you'll hear that or get detailed on that as we go through the budget.
Yes, Representative Moe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Reynolds, where does timber sale proceeds fit into this chart?
Madam Chair, Representative Moe, timber sale proceeds, a lot of them are in the Natural Resources Fund. They used to primarily go to the general fund, and then there was appropriations made out of the general fund. This committee, either 2 or 4 years ago, allowed the department to change that and put those dollars into the Natural Resources Fund so that the committee had a little bit more oversight on whether where those dollars were spent was the result of that. Some of the revenue also, timber, if it is school trust fund land, the revenue goes into the permanent school fund. So there's a complex situation in timber. It's the money, it goes back really to some, you know, often to the ownership of the land. And so there is a lot of permanent school trust fund land is timbered land. The revenue goes to there. The expenses are paid out of there. And then if there's any profit, that is used and distributed to the school districts in the state. And that can often be a contentious area. Sometimes the school district or there's question on whether or not those lands are being managed for maximum profit. And this committee has looked at that several times over the last 20 years. Most of it goes to the Natural Resources Fund, I believe, now, but it does go elsewhere.
We can answer our constituents as well.
Representative Dill has a question.
Thank you, Chair Wagenius. So Mr. Reinholtz, in that Natural Resources Fund, is that where the a subset of that, is that the forest suspense account that's in there that they operate, that they use? Representative Moe, I'm sure, and Representative Van Zyl would like to know about the forest suspense account and how that works.
Madam Chair, Representative,
would you rather do it another time?
You know, I can give you a brief overview. The suspense account was created really because there's constitutional limits on the use of some of the revenue dollars that come in, is particularly into the permanent school and that those funds. And what it was created for was to be able to pay for the expenses on making that revenue. So it goes into that account. It's then appropriated out of that account where there are profits. It then goes back into in the case of the permanent school, if it came off of those lands, it goes into the permanent school trust fund. And once it's in there, then it's used at the school district. So it's kind of an account that was made for really for accounting purposes.
It's the Bob Meyer slush fund. Just kidding.
I don't know that Bob gets to write those checks. No expenditures are made of that account that aren't approved by this or by this committee in the legislature and hall.
So
it's a very
question.
Complicated area. Now, it's one that's well to look into when that the DNR comes before the committee.
We'll have the DNR before this committee many days. Representative Bill.
Well, just one last. That's the reason I asked the question, because I know it's pretty complicated, and I don't understand it and should fully understand it. The other thing is on tax forfeit land, isn't there a statutory dedication on the split on the income on timber, something like 40% state, 40% something, and 20% local government? So the state doesn't get all the money off of the tax forfeit land. They share all that, right?
Madam Chair, Representative Deal, you're correct. There are situations where the state is sharing revenue with the local government on certain classes of land.
Okay.
Mr. Reinholtz.
The next chart shows budgeted revenue by budgeted revenues by fund class. The other one, that last one was expenditures. This one is showing revenues. It's really, they pretty much show that they're going to track each other. The pieces of pie are bigger because the general fund is taken out of there. The general fund is not really considered revenue. It just shows you where it's important that we raise money. It's the game and fish operations is huge, and some miscellaneous. We use the miscellaneous fund for a lot of the fees that the DNR levies. The next page moving into is really the, once again, it's just that agency, the high-level description of what the DNR has, and they prepare this, what they say that their purpose is, their function is, and their principles, and this will be coming, they'll be coming before the committee and going into detail on these activities. You can, if you really want to read the detail, I think the DNR's probably got 100 pages out on the Department of Finance webpage on their budget for the upcoming biennium. So you can, if you want to, you can dig into it in great detail. If you move through to the numbers page, the Natural Resources Department agency overview, and I'm going to point out, you can see here how this is a very, as opposed to Bowser, it's a very complex funded agency. Look at the top, once again, it's the direct appropriations, but really I'll point out down expenditures by fund, that last section on here, you'll see the DNR gets money from a lot of places, a lot of different funds, a lot of it is open, and a significant amount of it is also statutory appropriations. And I described what statutory and open were before and said that those are appropriations where the law keeps those ongoing. I'd like to point out this committee has complete control over those dollars, even though the past legislatures have decided to make that an ongoing funding commitment. This committee can choose to change most of those. So the committee does look at and does have control over open and statutory funding. It's just a little bit different process to control them. I say that, and I also have to then there are conditions. Obviously, some of those appropriations, particularly the Indian treaty payments, were basically based on lawsuits and settlements that have been made either with or without going to courts between the state and the tribes, and the legislature can't necessarily change those without some serious ramifications. The PILT payments, a large portion, the legislature has changed those, and even though they are open appropriations, this committee has control over making changes to those payments. We'll hear a lot in depth as the department comes forward on all those expenditures. Really, I'd move through the natural resources, and just to give you a view of the PCA now. The first pie chart is expenditures by programs in the Pollution Control Agency. Here's this one. You can see that broken out into the same. They probably just the name makes sense to you what they're doing. It's the Administrative Support Department, the division, the Air Division, the Environmental Assistance Program. That is primarily what used to be the Office of Environmental Assistance. There is the Land Division, Multimedia. That's where they have a lot of their scientists that work across the medias. And then their Water Division, which is, as you see, it's the largest, really the largest operating division within the Pollution Control Agency. The next pie chart shows budgeted expenditures by category at the Pollution Control. This is using the 2007 numbers once again. And what you see is obviously compensation and other operating expenses are the largest items. There is some local assistance within almost 20% within the PCA. They do pass through money to local units of government in several of their programs. And you'll see that as they testify before the committee. Waters has significant amounts of pass-through dollars. The next chart is budget expenditures by fund class. Here you see that the general fund is the dark blue. This particular agency has very little general fund dollars, less than 10%. The decision has been made by the legislature over the years to fund this agency primarily out of permits and fee-raised revenues. And that's what's showing up here, the largest one being the Environmental Fund and the Remediation Fund. The federal government has some almost 20% of this agency's budget is grants from the federal government. You move on to the next item. It shows.
Excuse me, Representative.
Thank you, Chair Wagenius. Mr. Reinholz, back on the DNR page and this page under expenditures by fund class, there's the class gift. I don't know. I think that's what that says. $3,263,000 in the DNR expenditures and in the PCA, $190,000. What does that mean? I don't recall that before in my.
Madam Chairman, Representative Dill. There are actual gifts given to the state of Minnesota occasionally. I'm guessing I may have to double check with the DNR. I believe that some of the RIM funds are probably the matching funds for RIM may be going through that gift fund because it is a large amount. But there are instances where organizations do make gifts to state governments. It's not a large amount of money ever, but I can get the details on what those are. But I believe they're using some RIM match money. It's probably calling a gift fund.
Would that, Madam Chair, would that be something like land, a donation of land, or things like that? Is that what?
Madam Chair, Representative, I don't believe the gift of land would show up in the operating budget. It's really not a huge item I looked into, but I'll find out for sure from the DNR.
Thank you.
Representative Clark.
Thanks. I have a question about the federal category here. And maybe it's in various places that we're going to run across this, too. Where does the EPA funding that may or may not be leveraged show up on these tracks, or does it not?
Madam Chair, the federal dollars are the EPA grants. That would be listed here as the federal dollars in the PCA, yes.
So that's all federal funds. That's all EPA funding?
They may have the PCA may have some federal dollars from other agencies, but I would guess that the vast majority of their federal dollars are EPA, and any EPA dollars that were given to the state into PCA would be under that federal amount, yes.
And then just one final question. Does that fluctuate quite a bit, or do we have a trend line that we can look at for those federal dollars?
Madam Chair, no. It does not fluctuate a lot. We do have the information. I don't have it here, but I have information on that, and I can get that to you, Representative Clark.
Mm-hmm. Representative Hansen has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And following up on Representative Clark's question, looking at both DNR and PCA, there's quite a few federal dollars coming in and other special revenues. And I'm aware that the state takes an indirect cost off of dollars that come in, and then often the agencies have an indirect charge as well. Would it be possible for a future meeting if Mr. Reinholz could get those indirect charge rates that the state takes on federal dollars coming in, you look at that over time, and then also the agency's charge for indirect.
Now, Madam Chair, that information, I can get that information from the departments and bring it forth to the committee, yes, on indirect cost rates. Most of them have indirect cost rates are established with what they call, I believe, the cognizant agency, whichever federal agency they deal with primarily. The agencies have to work out an indirect cost plan and establish that rate and use that rate, although the federal government then often passes their legislation just as the Minnesota legislature does, where they don't allow any indirect costs or they limit indirect costs. But yeah, I can get that, and I will bring that to the committee.
Thank you. Mr. Reinholz.
Moving on to the budgeted revenues by fund class page for the PCA, what you're seeing here is where they get their money, their revenues from. When you take, on this one, you see the pie chart, federal government is large and the environmental fund is also. If you move on to the next page would be the narrative on the PCA. And I won't go into this, but just to give you you can look us over this if you would like to get an idea of what the PCA describes their purpose and their operations as. Moving on to the numbers page, showing that the PCA spends total of their base for 08 and 09 is $143 million in the first year and $147 million in the second year for a total of $290 million. So it's a significant amount of money for this committee, PCA being the second largest agency. It shows where those funding come from. And what you see is that a large portion of this agency, that's I point out a difference here, the statutory appropriations section down at the bottom, a large portion of this agency is statutory appropriated. The biggest pieces of that are the remediation fund. Those are the dollars that are used for landfill cleanups, also used for Superfund cleanups, and there's statutory authority for them to spend those dollars for those purposes. Obviously, both of those vary greatly from year to year sometimes, and so it's difficult to direct appropriate those dollars in the legislature. That's one of the reasons the legislature uses statutory appropriations, when it's difficult to forecast what expenditures will be. This finance division uses it primarily on non-general fund dollars that can vary greatly from year to year for the various programs. That then moves through the that part of the PCA. When is it? I've got PCA in mind twice. I hope not everybody has that.
I don't have it at all.
You don't have it at all. I'm sorry on that. And then there's one last set of handouts, a few pages. This one, it's the proposed environmental fund consolidation structure for MPCA state funding. I put this piece together just to give you a little overview on some changes and some of the structure at one of the agencies. I'm using the PCA as far as the complexity of the funding. And what you see here is 4 years ago, this committee in the legislature decided to make some changes in the way that the funding of the PCA is done. And on the far left, the column that shows sources shows the primary fee areas where the PCA raises money: the air quality permit fees, the water quality permit fees, the individual septic license fees, the stormwater fees, the hazardous waste, and as it goes on, and they're pretty self-descriptive on what they are all about, other than solid waste tax. That is the tax that's on your garbage bill every month that the state collects. It's a percentage of the bill. Is the largest single source of funding that goes into what has been named the environmental fund within the state accounting system. And then these lines coming out of that fund, those are the decisions this committee makes on where to spend the dollars. And you can see that it then goes over into those divisions within the PCA that showed up on the charts before: the air quality, the water quality, the multimedia. On this one, it's called waste management and cleanup, a little bit different names. I put this together just to show you, and the point I want to make is, you see all those fees over on the left? Previously, those fees used to be dedicated for very specific purposes and uses. The air quality permit fee was only used in the air quality division and for a related support cost at PCA. The stormwater was only used in water. What the change that was made was, it kind of uncoupled the dollar amount of the permit fees and the spending. And this committee then has, the money all goes into a pot, and this committee makes decisions on where to spend it. So it's not as much on sort of autopilot as it used to be. The division, this gives the legislature more control and discretion on the spending of the money under this plan. What it also did was allow the solid waste tax, which originally went towards land pollution abatement, and is also the largest portion of the environmental fund revenue source, really began to be used for water quality issues. The water quality, the historical water quality permit amounts were not enough dollars for the activity level that the legislature wanted in water quality, and for years it had been subsidized in a sense with general fund dollars. What this allowed it to be doing was replace those general fund dollars to a large extent with solid waste tax revenue dollars.
Representative Gardner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Reinholz, just having observed how that consolidation happened, I think it was probably a smart move to consolidate funds so you didn't end up short in areas where you needed to clean up right away. But it is a 50% solid waste tax. Where is the other half? Where did the legislature decide to put that in past years? And where does it go?
Madam Chair, and members, it goes to the general fund. And the solid waste tax always had a portion of its revenue directed to the environmental fund and a portion directed to the general fund. And that 50%, this chart, now that you've talked about that one, I'll point out, is for the 2004-05 biennium when this change was first made. That 50% has risen now to 70%. And really what happened there was OEA score grants, the counties used to be made out of the general fund, and this committee made a decision, the legislature and the governor agreed, to fund them out of the environmental fund, so the revenue was changed. So really 70% now goes to the environmental fund, but it increased the expenditures also. There always, since that tax was established, portion of it has gone to the general fund. There are expenditures out of the general fund for environmental purposes was the rationale. There also were times when it seemed that was used to help the general fund through difficult times.
If you could just...
Yes, Representative Partner.
Madam Chair, Mr. Reynolds, so roughly 30% of the solid waste tax is still going to the general fund and may or may not go to environmental purposes.
Madam Chair, members, that is correct, and it's definitely not dedicated for any environmental purposes.
Thank you.
Undedicated revenue to the general fund. The next, the second page is what I've got here, and it is following up on this first chart. It's the environmental fund budget statement. This came out with the November forecast, and really what I wanted to point out here, and I said it on the first chart, the solid waste tax, which is about a third of the way down on that, is by far the largest source of funding for the environmental fund. So that tax on garbage is, and I see the fiscal years aren't showing up on the top of this. The last two columns would be the 07 and the 08 fiscal year. So it's $46.9 million and $48.3 million, respectively, in those 2 years. Out of the total of 86, over 50% of it comes from the solid waste tax. And that really is the tax that is being used to finance a large portion of the activities in the PCA these days. There's an awful lot of other sources. As you can see, the air quality fee is significant. Those are the permit fees that the Pollution Control Agency issues on air quality. The next biggest single source, it's way down at the bottom, the motor vehicle transfer fee is 11.7 and estimated to be $11.7 million in each year. That was originally established as the tire fee. It was commonly called the cleanup used tire dumps across the state. That activity has mostly been completed. There's some ongoing costs on new tires that are abandoned and dumped. But that dollars are also being used to fund now other environmental activities within the Pollution Control Agency. The last page, I just did this one as sort of an example. This is just the water program in the Pollution Control Agency, and I wanted to make the point that the uncoupling of the revenue on particular fees and the expenditure, what that was done for. And if you look, you can see that this division within the PCA spends $36 million in 08 and is expected to spend $38 million, so a total of $75 million over the 08-09. And where is that money coming from? If you look at the expenditures by fund, the direct appropriations, there's still a significant general fund appropriation for the Waters Division, $15 million over those 2 years, with the Environmental Fund being the largest one, $35 million. So the Environmental Fund is spending $35 million on water activities. And if you go back to the page I just turned over from, which talks about revenue, you'll see that water quality and stormwater fee only brings in approximately $5.6 million in each year of the biennium. So it's bringing in 5.6, and then the ISTS money maybe for another 700,000, so 6.5 maybe out of the Environmental Fund is coming in water related revenue sources, but $17 million a year is being spent out of the Environmental Fund. So that's where I was talking about the decoupling sort of the revenue sources and the expenditure gave this committee the freedom or the ability to increase spending in the water area without increasing the fees on waters. Primarily, those fees come, a lot of them are paid by local units of government, so there's a lot of pressure to keep those fees low. That's really the only reason I went into a little bit of more detail on one program was to make that point out. It's an important issue in PCA, the fee levels and what those dollars are used for, so I wanted to get just a little feel for what goes on there. Madam Chair, that is what I had prepared, so.
Just what we needed. I appreciate that. We have about 3 more minutes, and I do have one more thing to do.
Just one quick question?
Yes.
Madam Chair, Mr. Reinholz, with regard to the motor vehicle fees that are in here, the constitutional amendment that we had did not affect this fee.
Madam Chair, Rex Osmond, no, that's not part of that.
Bob Meyer is going to come down. Thank you, Representative Osmond. He's going to come down. We talked. I talked to you a little bit about outcomes-based budgeting, and DNR had already started down that track, and they have a book to give to you that will get us ready for looking at the budget. And I just asked Mr. Meyer to bring them this morning, and he got up early enough to bring them. So, Mr. Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Bob Meyer, Assistant Commissioner for the Department of Natural Resources, overseeing policy and government relations. In a meeting we had with Chairman Wagenius yesterday, we presented our latest version of the Strategic Conservation Agenda, and we wanted to make sure that we got it out to members as soon as possible because it does have a lot of I think there's about 90 indicators right now that we're tracking with measurable results. I wanted you folks to have a chance to review this and look at it before we come to you with our budget requests, because we will be referring back to many of these measures as we relate them to our 08-09 budget we're trying to present. So take a look at this. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me. I'll give you my direct line number. If you have a pencil or want to write it down, it's 651-259-5024. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Meyer. This will be the first budget that we will go over, so it's they seem to be the most ready. So we will start with this budget, and so I thought I wanted to make sure you had this in hand. I see no other questions, and we will adjourn the meeting and work next time on wetlands.